As I was studying the sermon topic that we have for today, my first impression is that this subject should not be as hard as the other assignments that I had in the last couple of months. But while it is true that there are a lot of materials that would aid one who wishes to preach on these topics, names of God, I find it overwhelming to study the names of God. See, church, this God that we serve and worship is an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God that cannot be contained. His greatness in a single name would be impossible and would not be appropriate to describe His holiness, His character, and His actual position in this universe, our own little universe. But for the sake of time and for the sake of those few whose blood sugar drops during this time of the day, we will try to study the names of God, namely as Theo, Kurios, Despotes, and Abba, in a brief and hopefully in a meaningful fashion. Now, I have contracted Ati Charing here as my official timekeeper, so that when I get carried away with the many lessons and personal stories I have prepared to help us grasp the inexhaustible truths of God's Word, somebody here in this congregation will be able to bring me back to reality that we are still human beings, and having said that, we feel hungry and tired. My mother used to warn people around me that I am kutatero. You know what a kutatero is? Quite a talker. I have always thought that of that description as a compliment, until I went to grade school, where I find it hard to please my teacher as I exercise the gift of being a kutatero. This did not bother me until college. I'm a Christian, but I studied in a Catholic school where I engaged my theology teacher into a debate refuting his doctrine that plants and animals have souls like human beings. He liked me so much that at the end of the semester gave me a hanging by a thread grade that cost me my cum laude honors and almost cost my nursing education. Now that I am a married man, I truly realize that in order to put this virtue in check and make it useful is not to practice it with my wife. You see, my motto in life is, you want a happy life? Gotta have a happy wife. And that proves to be true to all our men here. Happy life, happy wife. Well, I can hear the women laughing. Oh, my goodness. Today, I am submitting this kutatero. Under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, I am allowing Him to use every single word and thought that will come out of this mouth to honor the name of the one who rescued me from nothing into becoming His servant. From a kutatero to mensajero. To a talker, from a talker to a messenger. At this very hour, let the name of the Lord be honored. Let the name of our God be praised. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is our prayer that you open our hearts, you open our minds, and you pour your spirit upon us as we listen to your word. We thank you for the bread, Father. Nourish our souls. Come visit us today as we listen to the calling of your God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. Names of God. What is up with the name? Come on, y'all. That's what my friend, who happens to be African-American, you know, what's up with the name, y'all, you Filipinos? You know, what's up with the name? A name is very important to a person. Do not underestimate the importance of giving a good name to your child. Remember that our names, once we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, will be written in the book of life. It is the same name being recorded in the book of life. That's what the Bible says. When we all die, our names will be called in that book of life. A friend of mine happened to pass on this morning around 5:30. A very dear, good friend. And I was looking to her a few hours earlier. It's kind of like difficult to grasp how a man or a woman would suffer trying to gasp for his or her last breath. But you know what? At this very moment, since she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, her name is being called from the book of life. And that's a guarantee. Because that's what the Bible says. I encourage you to give your children some favor by giving them meaningful and beautiful names. Some people take this for granted and do not really take into consideration the long-term effect of a lousy name. Some parents just pick out names out of nowhere. You know, my Lolo and Lola, my grandparents, based their children's name on some old Spanish-era calendars. Hence, my aunts and uncles' names are Potenciano, Prudencio, Correncia. Come on, do some research and find meanings of the names. Some names sound really good and pleasant. But when you look at the meaning of it, oh my goodness, it's terrible. Let me give you some examples. Calvin. You know what Calvin means? According to the dictionary, Calvin means little bald one. Don't you ever call me Calvin after this message. I wouldn't like that. Cameron. You know what Cameron means? Crooked nose. That would be an insult to me. If you call me crooked nose, I've got flat nose. And here's one thing more. For us nurses or in the medical field, do not name your child Milena. You know what Milena is? Bloody stools. Why would you name a child such as that? The funny thing for most of us Filipinos is we try to look for really nice and catchy names so that it would look great in their birth certificate and school records, but we end up giving them stinky nicknames. My firstborn was named Jan Eldrick. Jan is a Dutch word meaning God has been gracious, and Eldrick meaning elder or wise ruler. But we call him Dudong. Jan Ilian. Again, Jan means God has been gracious. And Ilian means the Lord has answered our prayers. So we give him a nickname, Pot Pot, or Yan Yan. And I know that most of us here are guilty of doing the same. I'm not going to name names, but we all do that. And most Filipinos are fond of naming their kids like baby. I have a grandma, and I still call her Lola Baby. Some kids are getting confused. Can you imagine Kuya Toto? Y'all know who Kuya Toto is, okay? Tito Toto, Kuya Toto. Toto is a term for a lad or a boy. So he's always going to be a boy. Toto, right? Or boy. Now, here in the United States, once you swore in, this is for all of you who have sworn in as American citizens. You all know that your names will be changed. You have the privilege and the right to change your name into something else. You know, a friend of ours decided to have his name changed from Gregorio Talahib. What a name. Gregorio Talahib. Now, he became an American citizen, so he changed it to George Bush. And Federico Hagibis, you know. Hagibis means swift, fast. Federico. Okay, I'll change it to Federal Express. Or Remigio Batumbacal into Remington Steel. If it so happened that your parents are not so fond of giving a nice name or have given you a name that is very awful, then I strongly suggest that you take this opportunity to change that name. These are actual names in the registry in the National Census of Statistics Office in the Philippines. Names such as Ligaya Bagong Gahasa. recently raped, if you translate it. So names over time give impressions to people, whether good or bad. They are usually associated into something. Like if I say Roosevelt's, the Bush's, Clinton's, we're talking about politics, right? If I say Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, Pierce Brosnan, oh, we're talking about Hollywood, right? If I say JJ Watt, that's Texans, or James Harden, the beard, Houston Rockets, right? So for all of us here, if I say boxing, don't you dare say Mayweather. This is First Philippine Baptist Church. So when we talk about boxing, that's Manny Pacman Pacquiao, right? Yes, their names have become sports outfits, and companies such as Nike, Adidas, and Reebok, their business have been really lucrative with the sale of their jerseys or apparels. Though some of us patronize this merchandise primarily because of their names, have become an icon in that particular field. You know, the Roman Catholics at one point in time discouraged their parishioners to name their children after Jesus or Christ. Why? Think about the names when these kids would need to be disciplined. What are you going to say? Oh, Jesus, you've been really bad boy today. Or just like what Jeriah would always ask me, you know, are you lying again to me, Jesus? That would not be good. Now, if I say these words, which, by the way, are names of God, Theo, Kurios, Despotes, and Abba, not many of us, I assume, will probably have any idea what am I talking about. You know, these words are not commonly heard. As a matter of fact, even while you have read the Bible so many times, you will not find these words except for the word Abba, or Abba, if you have the American accent. I don't, so it's Abba. As we go into the details of what each of these names mean, it is my prayer that we all realize how important these names are and how significant they are in our walk with the Lord. What's up with the name? There is something in God's names. Theo. The word Theo is a Greek word translated God and is used in the New Testament several times. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible 1,343 times. Its use teaches, first of all, that He is the only true God. Romans 3:30 says, since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that of the same faith? The word God there, since there is only one Theo, that's the original version of it. Number two, its use teaches that He is unique. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only Theo, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It teaches us that He is transcendent. Acts 17:24, the God who made the world, the God, the Theo, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. It teaches us that He is the Savior. Our favorite verse, John 3:16, for Theo, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This name is used by Christ of God. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Theo, and the Word was God. The word God here is Theo, speaks of true God. From Genesis to Revelation, Theo is a general term for God. The second name of God that we want to give emphasis today is the term Kurios. Kurios is a Greek word meaning he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which has the power of deciding. The power of deciding. You know, if somebody gives you the authority to decide, isn't that something? You know, in my household, guess who makes the decision? Of course, being a man, you know, the macho image that we have. I was born in Cavite, Philippines. It's the cradle of Philippine freedom and history, where people there fought the Spaniards and the Americans using their bolos, their itaks, you know, their sickle. Oh, we die for freedom. We're like the brave heart of Scotland in Cavite. And you know, anywhere in the Philippines, you ask people around, they'll ask, where are you from? And I say, Cavite. That means we're ready to die. So in my household, guess who's the man? It's going to be me. So one time, my wife was upstairs on the second floor, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, saying, Eric, go ahead and cook some rice. Excuse me now? Who are you talking to? I'm the man of the house. You talking to me? Yes, I'm telling you. Cook some rice right now. And you know, being the man that I am, I responded in like a more fierce voice. How many scoops do you want? My goodness, I'm still doing the laundry, ironing these clothes, and you have so many things that you want. That's the man of the house. So who makes decision? When the Lord gives you the power to make this decision, that means something. This God that we serve, Kurios, He makes the decision for all of us. He has the final say. He's the possessor or disposer of a thing. He's the owner, the one who has control of the person. In the context of state, it means he's the ruler, the prince. That refers to a Roman emperor. Kurios stresses the supremacy and authority of God. It was mentioned 748 times in the Bible. You want us to go one by one? Let's just do three. Matthew 1:20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, that means Kurios, appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That's Kurios. Revelations 20:20. He who testifies to this thing says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come. Kurios. Jesus. Come. It is used mostly as the equivalent of Yahweh. Remember Lester's message last week, naming the names of God as El Elohim, Yahweh, and El Shaddai, El Adonai. So this is the equivalent of Yahweh from the Old Testament in the New Testament. It is used of Jesus Christ, meaning Rabbi or Sir, God or deity. When Thomas said to Jesus Christ, you know, when he revealed himself to him, he said, my Lord and my God. That's like my Kurios and my God. That's what Thomas is telling the Lord Jesus Christ. My authority, my supremacy. The third name of God that we would like to talk about today is Despotes. Comes from the Greek word also, where we derive the word despot, the idea of ownership. It denotes absolute ownership and uncontrolled power, was used 10 times in the Bible. In 2 Peter 2:1, it says there, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign despotes who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Jude 1:4 says, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denies Jesus Christ, our sovereign and despotes. That's powerful. The God that we serve is despotes. He owns everything in this world. He owns everything in this place. He owns your cars. He owns your businesses. He owns your houses. He owns your children. He owns your life. When you were born, He gives you the breath of life. And when you die, He takes away that breath of life. Because He owns every single breath that you have. Remember that. That's powerful. Very powerful. Luke 2:29, Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Despotes, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. This is Simeon talking when he saw the Messiah. And the last name of God that we will be discussing today is the word Abba. Or the right pronunciation should be Abba. It's a word that means Father. A term expressing warm affection and filial confidence. An intimate Aramaic term similar to daddy. As the name of God, it stresses God's loving care, provision, discipline, and the way we are to address God in prayer. This is how we should address this God as our Abba, Abba, Father. It was used only 3 times in the Bible. And we're going to go all through these verses. Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, He said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. This is Jesus praying. Romans 8:15, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, because you are His sons, God sent the spirit of His Son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, I know that I have to close this study later on by emphasizing on the essential lessons we have learned from knowing the names of our great God. But I can't help but stop here for a minute and give you an idea of how important, how precious, how personal, how intimate, how close to His bosom it is when we address our God as Abba, Father. It's like addressing Him like my dad, my father, my tatay, or for Miss Priscilla, mi papa. My tatay used to spank me when I was young. He is very strict. He would give instructions in the morning, and he would tell me, isoga mo yung baka bago lumubog ang araw. To translate it would mean, make sure you get all those cows back to the stable before the sun sets. But you know, I was in second grade. I mean, when you're in second grade, you think nothing but play. So the sun sets, and I'm walking home. Now I remembered, oh, my tatay said, isoga yung baka, bring all those cows to the stable. And from afar, I could see him. He was like, okay. Turn his back, rip a piece of kakawate. It's a bush back in the Philippines, probably. You know, he took like a branch like this one. And from where I am, start hitting me until I get home. By the time I got home, the kakawate as thick as this one becomes like this. And you'll see all the marks for him. He is so strict. But then it is my tatay who taught me my alphabet. And he couldn't teach me more than the alphabet because he only finished second grade. But even with that memory of my father trying to discipline me, I still have this affection in my heart. Because he is a father to me. Now for those of you whose father have gone with the Lord, sometimes there are moments in your lives when you just remember what your father told you. So for those of us here whose fathers are still alive, listen to their counsel. But the point I'm trying to point here is, imagine this. The creator of the universe, the one who placed the stars in place and calls each one of them by name. How many stars do we have in this universe, in these galaxies? We're talking about billions, millions, trillions. I don't know how to count anymore, but there's a lot of stars. And the God of the universe placed them one by one. You go here, you stay here, you're right there, you're right here. Billions. How are you going to name those stars? And by the limited mind that we have, we said, okay, that good, nice star right there, I'll call you Sun. Sirius. Canopus. Alpha Centauri. Vega. And there's like billions more. Then they would come to me and say, okay, Eric, you can start naming your stars. Okay. Nora. Vilma. Sharon. Guy. Peep. I know our youth cannot relate to that because those are stars from the Philippines. So, I want to give you some other examples. So, okay, let's say, all right, Eric, you name some of the stars. I'm giving you the privilege to do that. Okay. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston. Oh, no, you can't be together. Okay, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt. The creator of the universe, who placed the stars in place and calls each one by name, cares for each one of us as if we were the only child he had. Raise your hand if you're the only child. Oh, I feel sorry for you people. I can only sympathize with you. But I ask permission from Tita Sol and Ate Nats to use them as examples. So, Jaren, forgive me. When Tita Sol brought Ekin to a swimming lesson, of course, when you bring your kids to the swimming lesson, you have the instructor in front of you. And most of the time, they have only like 2-3 students in front of them. So, the instructor said, okay, Ekin, let go. And Ekin started sinking, like, trying to gasp for air. So Tita Sol was there, standing right there. And she was looking at the instructor. And the instructor is like, Ekin, you have to move your legs. You have to, you know, move your arms so you can float. Okay, come on now. You can do it. You can do it. And you know what she did? She just jumped there into the water and rescued his son. Why? That's his only son. That's her only child. I remember at Inats when we're trying to send our kids to Camp Fusion. There's a big bus park right there. After we said our prayers and everything, you know, they start grabbing their stuff and they all went inside the bus. And she was out there right by the bus window saying, Jaren, don't forget to take your, you know, medications. You know, your shirt is in there, your stuff are in here, blah, blah, blah. You know, after the bus took off, she came to us and she said, you think it's okay if we follow them over there? Man, it sounds funny, but you will never understand coming from the heart of a mother. That's how the Lord loves us. He cares for each one of us as if we were the only child he had. Imagine that. He looks at us like, you're the only child I have. A distinctive New Testament revelation is that through faith in Christ, God becomes our personal Father. Remember the story of the prodigal son? After he spent half of the family's possession with his lavish lifestyle, his father accepted him back. He longs for the return of his prodigal sons and daughters. He accepts us with open arms. He comes running to us as we return to his presence, like a father longing to wrap his arms for his long-lost son or daughter. Let me ask you this question. Is he your father? If not, make him your father today. He longs to have you back in his arms. Where are the lessons that we learn from dealing with all these names of God? What are take home with this lessons, with this lecture that we had this morning? First lesson, understanding the names of God deepens our commitment to Him. It changes the way we honor and worship God. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, wrote that our life's purpose is to glorify God. The word glory in the Greek New Testament is doxa, which means an opinion, an estimation, or reputation in which one is held. It refers to that which should accrue to God as praise, thanksgiving, obedience, reverence, and service because of who God is and what God does in the past, in the present, and in the future. In other words, giving glory to God is tied with the knowledge of God, His revelation, and knowing God personally, our response to God. The more we know God, the deeper our worship will become. The Lord Jesus said in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." The many names in Scripture constitute additional revelation of God's character, His works, and His relationship to us based on His character and works. The names which God chose for Himself and which are ascribed to Him in the Word of God are additional revelations of the who and the what of God that we may know and relate to God. Note David's declarations about God's name in Psalm 138:1-2. God's name declares much about His person, but it is God's word that reveals God and His name. 22 more pages left. We know what God is like not only by His perfections and works, but also by His name. Tell us many things about God's care and concern for His own. This is one of the fascinating studies of the Scripture, the various circumstances which bring forth each of the names of God is very important. In our 20th century Western culture, personal names are little more than labels to distinguish one person from another. Sometimes nicknames are chosen which tell something about a person, but even this is a poor reflection of the significance of names in the Bible. Unfortunately, to many, the names of God or Lord convey little more than designations of a supreme being. It says little to them about God's characters, His ways, and what God means to each of us as human beings. But in Scripture, the names of God are like miniature portraits and promises. In Scripture, a person's name identified them and stood for something specific. This is especially true of God. Naming carried special significance. It was a sign of authority and power. This is evident in the fact that God revealed His names to His people rather than allowing them to choose their names for Him. Knowing now what these big words mean, Theo, Kurios, Despotes, and Abba, places us in our rightful positions before our God. It makes us acknowledge all the more that He is a holy God and we are filthy before Him. That He is up there and we are down here. And yet He is reaching to us. He is pursuing us. He loves us like crazy. Second lesson that we learn. The names of God, their essence and authority are for eternity. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so are the names of God. They will never change. In Malachi 3:6, God says, I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore, you, our sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Within the name Yahweh is the affirmation, I am who I am. But if who God is not determined by any forces outside Himself, then He is not subject to the changes. We are. People change their mind because of unforeseen circumstances or weak resolution. God foresees all circumstances and has no weaknesses. Nothing in all creation takes Him off guard and backs Him into a corner where He might have to act out of character or compromise His integrity. Nothing surprises Him. He is who He is. And therefore, as James says, with Him, there is no variation or shadow due to change. His absolute name is the granite foundation of our confidence in His ongoing faithfulness. When God said He is Theo, He is God. When God claims to be Kurios, He is the supreme authority. When God declares He is Despotes, He owns everything in this world and everything in this life. When God tells us that He is your Abba Father, He sent His only Son to die for us to prove it. That He is indeed our Ama, our Tatay, nuestra Papa, Abba, Father. Lastly, the names of God should never be addressed irreverently. While people's names can be very funny or even fascinating, the holy name of God should never be addressed irreverently. Jesus Christ Himself prayed this prayer. Hallowed be Thy name. Jesus proclaims in Matthew 6:9. The Bible also teaches that the name of Jesus is to be respected far above every earthly name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and give Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Israel had a great reverence for God's name, perhaps because the Mosaic law taught that those who disrespected God's name must pay the ultimate price, which is death. The name of God was so sacred to the ancient Jewish scribes that they used a special pen to write the name of God as they reproduced the scriptures. Each time they came to the name of God, they would set down the regular pen and pick up a holy pen that was used only for writing God's name. After saying a prayer, they would write God's name with a designated pen and then resume their work with a regular pen. On the contrary, most of the secular world and even many within the church have no concept of how offensive it is to heaven when we employ the name of God carelessly. One author puts it this way: angels are displeased and disgusted with the irreverent manner in which the name of God, the great Jehovah, is sometimes used in prayer. They, the angels, mention that name with greatest awe, even veiling their faces when they speak the name of God. The name of Christ also is sacred and is spoken with the greatest reverence. And those who in their prayers use the name of God in a common and flippant manner have no sense of the exalted character of God, or Christ, or of heavenly things. And a part of the Ten Commandments commands us, do not put the name of the Lord your God in vain. This commandment is not only particular to expressing God's name in a disrespectful manner, but it is also a reminder for us whose names are Christians, that we bear His name, then we should act as one. For our young people here in this church, do your friends in school or outside school know that you are a Christian? Will they be surprised to know that you are a Christian? If we dare you to turn in your cell phones, your tablets, your laptops, and your computers, do you think it will show proof of your Christianity? When we claim to be Christians, in effect, we also bear these names of God with us. Him being Theo in you, Kurios in you, Despotes in you, your Abba, Father. And yes, we know that living in your generation is not an easy thing to deal with. But take heart that while you may go through difficult circumstances in life, you know, when you're in your teens, there's a lot of changes. You know, physically, your hormones are surging up. You know, there are highs and lows. Sometimes you see them so eager. Sometimes you see them like not doing anything. Those are physical changes. They have their emotional changes as well, which is highly affected by their hormones. And most of the time, they would want to talk about their feelings amongst their peers. Or sometimes it's a mental challenge. Have you ever heard your teenagers or preteens come to you and say, "Dad, I'm bored. I'm bored." I hope he's not referring that to my sermon, but yes, he would come to me and say, "I'm bored." You're bored? There's so many things to do, and you're bored. The God of the Bible, the Lord that we are discussing right here and right now, is also the God of your generation. He did not promise a problem-free life, nor an easy-go-lucky kind of life. But take this, He is still the ruler, the supreme authority, the owner of the universe, but more importantly, your tatay, your ama, your papa, your Abba, Father. Church, may this God continue to reveal His names to all of us here at First Philippine Baptist Church, no matter what state you are going through at this very moment. Glory be to His holy name. Let's come to the word in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, show yourself to us by making us realize how important your names and that your names are a reflection of your character and your presence in our lives. May you be honored. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.